Good evening and welcome. I'm John Sheehan, President of the State Board of Education. I call the July 16th regular meeting to order. It is 5 o'clock p.m. This meeting is open to the public in the Townsend Building and electronically via Zoom. The State Board of Education published the public meeting notice and meeting information on July 9th on the State Public Meeting Calendar website. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technical issues as we simultaneously conduct this meeting in person and electronically. Today's agenda contains two opportunities for public comment. There's time allotted for public comment on regulations and then general public comment near the end of the meeting. Sign-up sheets are available on the table by the door if you did not previously sign up to provide public comment by email and are logged in through the meeting URL. Please type your name, organization, and comment topic in the chat box now. If you've joined through the call-in option and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in online through the meeting URL. As required by statute, this meeting is being recorded, and the recording will be available on our webpage within 7 business days of this meeting. When voting on items for action, I will say all those in favor, please say aye, and we will only do a roll call vote if there is a dissent. Also, as a reminder, when speaking or making a motion, please state your name. We will move to item B, roll call of the State Board members. Before we take roll this evening, I want to thank our Administrative Assistant, Aaron French, and our Executive Director, Justin Richards, for assisting us this evening. Mr. Richards, please read a roll call of the State Board of Education.
Reverend Banks?
Present.
Dr. Griffin?
Present.
Mr. Marcus?
Present.
Dr. Marinucci?
Present.
Mr. Sheehan?
Present.
Mr. Simmons?
Present.
Ms. Stevens?
Present.
Dr. Sizewell?
Present.
Have quorum. All right, we have a quorum. I'll also note that we have the board's executive, or we have the Deputy Attorney General, Alex Corbin, here, and from the Department of Education, we have Associate Secretary Adam Shaw here as well. Moving on to item C, approval of the agenda. The board's agenda was posted on July 9th. Mr. Richards, are there any changes to the agenda?
No.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting as presented?
So moved, Stevens.
Motion by Vice President Stevens. Is there a second?
Second, thanks.
Second by Reverend Banks. Any discussion on the agenda? All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Moving on to item D, the approval of the June 18th regular meeting minutes. The June 18th minutes were provided to the board for review in advance of this meeting. Are there any additions or deletions to the minutes? Right, seeing none, is there a motion to approve the June 18th regular meeting minutes as presented?
Moved by Marinucci.
Motion by Dr. Marinucci. Is there a second? I will second. Any discussion? All those in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Next up, we will move to board business and presentations. First off, we have two new faces to the board here today. We are thrilled to first introduce our new executive director, Justin Richards. And also we are joined by our new student member, Caleb Marcus. So I'm gonna turn it over to each of you just to introduce yourselves and say a few things. We'll start with Justin and then kick it to Caleb.
Yeah, thank you again for this opportunity and look forward to working with everyone, and I already hit the ground running, and so look forward to doing more and keep it going, and really enjoy everybody so far, and look forward to working with you.
Awesome. Excited to have you on board, Justin. And Caleb, welcome.
Well, obviously my name is Caleb. I'm from the Cape and Lupin School District, and I'm a rising senior. In the past, I'm kind of new to the whole educational policy sect. In the past, I worked on the Hospital Events and Tourism Redesign Committee. I'm really into student voice and getting students involved in the decision-making process. I founded ACTS, which is the Student Advisory Council of the Superintendent for the Cape and Lupin School Districts, which brought two board liaisons to the school board, just to make sure that there's that student voice represented. Excited to see where this position takes me. I didn't necessarily take it or apply to this, consider thinking that I would get it, but I'm here now, so obviously I'm worthy enough. So we'll see where it takes me, and I'm really excited to see the impact that I can have in this role and how I can truly increase that student voice and make sure that the voice of the students of Delaware are heard and represented. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Caleb. Welcome. Welcome aboard. We will shift to item B, the election of the vice president for the next year. By statute, each July, the State Board of Education is required to elect one of its members to serve as vice president of the board. At this time, I will open the floor for nominations and discussion regarding the election of vice president for the next year. Are there any nominations for vice president?
Mayor Nucci, I nominate Deb Stevens continue as vice president for the next fiscal year.
Nomination of Deb Stevens. Are there any other nominations? Okay. Is there a motion regarding the election of vice president?
Make motion to nominate her as the vice president, Tim Banks.
Okay. So Reverend Banks made a motion to nominate Vice President Stevens to continue, who was nominated by Dr. Marinucci. Is there a second to that motion?
Simmons, second.
Second by Mr. Simmons. Any discussion? All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, motion carries. Congratulations, Vice President Stevens.
Thank you, and thank you all for your vote. I appreciate it.
Moving on to item three, charter schools. We will have a charter school update for information. We have John Carwell, the education associate with the charter school office here this evening to provide updates on the work of the charter school office. Mr. Carwell, thank you for your written report. Do you have any further updates to share with the board?
Yes, good evening, everyone. I'm happy to present on behalf of Leroy Travers. And there are no additions to the update, but I'm happy to take any questions from the State Board.
Any questions from the board for Mr. Carwell? Can I just ask, you noted it seems like everything is going according to plan for BASE. And any further updates on BASE? Is everything kind of moving in the right direction? I know that the office has done a lot of work to make sure students are placed and that everything occurs in the right way here.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Yes, I think in the last month's update, Mr. Travers had mentioned that our office was going to retrieve all the files after the school officially closed on June 30th. And we are in possession of the files, and we are taking student records requests on an ongoing basis until all of the students have been placed in new schools. So we're actively processing student records requests. And we have about all the files are in our office, and they all the boxes fit on one table. So it's not a tremendous amount of students, but we're doing our best to retrieve all of the or process all of the records requests as they come in, and are looking forward to all of the students being enrolled in a new school come this coming school year.
Thank you for that. Any other questions from the board?
Question. This is Jim Simmons. I did ask this question last meeting, and I still don't know that I'm understanding of the answer. If we have students who have not been placed yet, wouldn't they just go to their feeder pattern school until they request to go somewhere different?
And I did listen to the recording of last month, Mr. Simmons, and good evening. Yeah, thank you for the question. So, yes, if parents have not elected to choice their child into a new school, they could definitely return or enroll at their feeder school, and we would process the records request because the records request would still need to come from the feeder district. And if not, then a parent may homeschool, or if a parent chooses to enroll in a private school, we would retain the records in that case. And so any records that are not requested, there's a retention schedule as mandated by the Department of Archives. So if a student moves out of state, that could be the case as well. We would not be notified of that. We would just have the record, and If that's the case, then we will, a district out of state may request records, but we cannot send the permanent record. According to state regulations, we would send a copy of that information or whatever they need. But anything that we do not have a records request for, we would retain according to the archives retention schedule and then forward them to archives, I believe, after a year, according to that schedule.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the board? All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Moving on to item four, regulations. Item 4A, there are no professional standards boards regulation for either discussion or action tonight. So we will move to item B, which is Delaware Department of Regulation, Department of Education regulations for discussion or action. I would like to welcome Dr. Alyssa Moore, Dr. Michael Feldman, and Maureen Whalen. They'll present and review two regulations for action that were presented to the board, Regulation 503, which was presented at the March meeting, and Regulation 505 at the June meeting. DOE team, welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for having us back today. So first, we'd just like to say that we did not make any substantive changes to the regulations since we brought them before you to 503 or 505. We did respond to the public comment for 503. There was one comment about physical education requirements. The response is in the final order, but we did not have to make any additional changes to 503. We did receive a few other comments, but they were not related to 503. For Regulation 505, there was one comment that we responded to regarding further stakeholder discussion around financial literacy that encourages us to involve stakeholders. And we are going to continue the work that we do to involve stakeholders in that work. And then is Maureen in the room with you?
Yes, she is.
Yep. So I'll hand it over to Maureen for the other comments.
All righty. Just for a second, guys. All righty. On 505, the comment was that GASIC and SCPD would like a further explanation about the exemptions that were provided for students in adult education programs. All righty. And the issue also was that SCPD recommends that James H. Groves Special Education Services be added along with DSCYF at the beginning of new subsection 9.1. And our response was that this subsection outlines the entities that awards credits towards high school graduation. The entity in this case is going to be the Delaware Department of Education's Adult and Prison Education Resource Work Group, which does indeed include the James H. Groves Adult High School that provides both general education and special education services. In reference to the issue from, again, GACEC and SCPD, it was suggested that the definition of adult education may create confusion because special education and adult correctional facilities is operated by the James H. Groves High School, but is a K through 12 education program and recommends that definition be modified to reflect what the WIOA definition is. WIOA is the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. And our response to that was special education indeed is provided in the correctional facilities through the James H. Groves Adult High School. The Groves Adult High School is not part of the K through 12 system. The WIOA definition reflects what the goals of adult basic education and GED instruction are, and those goals are mandated by WIOA funding, which is federal funding. All right, the James H. Groves Adult High School does not receive WIOA funding. It is state funded. It is not mandated to follow the WIOA goals. So the proposed definition that we have really reflects what the broader range of services provided by adult education reflects. For the issues of the students within adult education programs are exempted from the scientific investigation requirements. This has come up numerous times, and the Groves Adult High School courses are being offered in locations that do not necessarily have access to a lab setting However, all right, Grove's adult high school science courses do offer simulated lab experiences when it is appropriate to that curriculum. All righty, issues around 5.14 and 7.23 was students in the adult education program are exempted from senior year requirements. We spoke a little to this at the last meeting. We don't have senior year in Groves because people come in to pick up whatever kind of credits that they need. So we don't call it freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. They just pick it up. So the students in the Groves Adult High School must complete the Delaware Department's graduation requirements, the same as any other student would have to. All right. But the students do not follow a freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior year schedule since they take whatever courses they need to fulfill whatever the graduation requirements are. That's why we don't say that people have to take certain courses in their senior year. They take the courses and they still have to. It just doesn't have to be a senior year because we don't have senior years. All right, in 7.12, the concern was that students within the adult education programs are not required to complete credits in physical fitness as a part of the minimum 24 credits for graduation. All right, since there is no age limit to students coming into the Groves Adult High School, and this was agreed to many years ago, our oldest student, in fact, that graduated this year was in their 60s, students do not have to take the full physical fitness credit. What happens is many students do transfer over their physical fitness credits from their previous schools, but any additional physical fitness courses are not offered due to the range of ages in each of the classes and also in recognition of the health concerns and injury risks that could be attributed to that range of ages that are in the classes. Though all students must complete what the health credit is. And the last concern was about the DDOE. Well, I'm sorry. Alyssa, you already did this one. This was more further stakeholder discussion to implement their requirements of HB 203. And I think you've addressed that one already.
All right.
And that addresses the concerns that came from us.
A lot there. Just for the board, I think it probably makes sense to vote on these individually. I know there's been a lot of conversation about these, but that's the next step. So questions for Ms. Whalen, Dr. Sullivan, Dr. Moore from the board?
On either regulation?
Okay.
I do have a few. So what, when we're talking about Regulation 505 and further stakeholder engagement, what does that entail?
So I'll start and then Mike can chime in. That can entail several different things. So there will be stakeholder engagement in that we will provide technical assistance and support as districts and charters move through this process. So that's one type of stakeholder engagement. And then I'll let Mike talk a little bit about his work with the Social Studies Coalition.
Sure, thank you. Much of the professional learning that happens in the state of Delaware happens through the Center for Economic Education and Entrepreneurship at the University of Delaware, who also does economics, which is one of our social studies disciplines. Financial literacy regularly winds up on the agenda for our monthly social studies coalition meeting. So that is a primary avenue that I've been able to consistently communicate and update LEAs on the happenings and things that are happening around financial literacy, the regulation updates, the bill as it progressed over the 3 years. I'd also like to mention something that I was remiss after I left last meeting is that before the bill passed, the legislature required the Department of Education through House Resolution 31 to audit all the districts in their financial literacy curriculum. And we chose to, in that audit, include interviews with LEAs. And some of the concerns that were raised in the last meetings were some of those same concerns that LEAs raised to us, whether it was time constraints, competing mandates that they were having to juggle with, scheduling concerns, the costs of implementation, all those things. And I just want to just kind of stamp that those were all put into a report and sent to the legislature prior to the bill being passed. So that's one line of communication. In addition to socialized coalition meetings, is when this regulation does get enacted, we will have guidance documents and support documents in addition to what's already available to districts and charter schools through our Schoology LMS. Currently, there are lesson plans, curriculum planning guides, all of those things available to all public schools that either have already been using those in their curriculum or will continue or will adopt those to meet the regulation.
One more question.
Has
there been consideration given to creating an online option or a remote self-paced option for students to figure out a way to fit it into their schedule? Perhaps a statewide creation of an electronic course that could be shared and maybe take some of the pressure off of the individual LEAs of having to create the course?
I think all of those things are on the table. We've been focused on getting the regulation passed, but then continuing to keep LEAs informed. But yes, there have been conversations with the College Board reaching out and saying, hey, we have this curriculum. Can we tell LEAs that it'll meet the regulation? So we're not canceling any options at this point. We're keeping everything open. But the key is we want to make sure that we're whatever we endorse is aligned with the intent of the regulation, is aligned to our state standards, and meets all the requirements that we want those things to, those courses to meet, right?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm interested again with the stakeholder engagement beyond the technical support that'll be offered to districts as they start integrating this into their schedules for the upcoming year. Will there be follow-up throughout the year, and particularly at the end of the year, in terms of how well the implementation worked and what, if any, changes are necessary going forward that, you know, may potentially impact forwarding some pieces of legislation onto the General Assembly for possible modification if that's necessary? Is that in the works to do that?
Yeah, great question. And honestly, that's part of the standard operating procedure for us at the in our work group is continuously refining and improving. In fact, next week, the Center for Economic Education, University of Delaware, is having a Keys to Financial Success professional development where I talked to them yesterday, have a huge surge in interest. Their teachers participating in that institute. I work closely with them working to develop pacing guides and scope and sequence documents. So I have ongoing conversations with them and then the members of the Socialized Coalition who are embedded in that work throughout the year. And then, of course, at the end of the year, yes, we will evaluate how year one went and look to for ways to improve it.
Yeah, and just to resurface one of the suggestions that our outgoing student member had raised during the last meeting, that is there potentially the opportunity for some of the AP classes to be considered to provide the necessary financial literacy instruction that we're looking for?
Yeah, again, any course that meets the regulation requirements for as far as time, right? For half credit, you have to have at least 67 and a half hours of seat time dedicated to our financial literacy standards. So any College Board course, if it has a semester's worth of time dedicated to the learning objectives in our financial literacy standards, then they would absolutely be eligible for that credit.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions for the DOE team?
I would just piggyback on what Vice President Stevens was saying. If the AP course was slightly shy of the requirement, perhaps the department could create the online component or some additional supplementary piece so that the students wouldn't have to pay the price and take a different course in addition to when they were so close to meeting those requirements?
Yeah, that would be something we would have to work with districts and look at their existing curriculum models and see how much time is allowed. I have been in conversations with our Office of Higher Ed, who has told me some of the things that LEAs have been saying, and I've got it directly from LEAs. They're saying like, hey, Mike, there's some time after the AP test that maybe we can add additional financial literacy. And I said, well, let's take a look at that when we get to that. So that'll be something that we'll have to work with.
With that as well, what is the review process like for these courses? And if a student's in like a dual enrollment financial literacy course at one of our local colleges or universities, how would they, and it wasn't already reviewed as an acceptable kind of addition to this requirement, what's that process like?
I haven't been involved in a course approval process in social studies since I've been at the department. So I don't know, Alyssa, if you're aware of any course approval, specific course approval processes.
It usually is organized by the work group that is working through them. We have worked through some in the past with CTE, but like Mike said, that hasn't been brought to us at this point. If an institute of higher ed had a course that could be reviewed, my initial thought would be they would reach out to our work group for higher education, and then they would be able to organize that and pull everybody together that needed to be there from the department. But that's working basically off of prior knowledge, not to something we've done before, but logically that's what sounds right to me. Having them contact the higher ed office is definitely the straightest route in. And that would be my recommendation, would be to have them, like those institutes of higher education would reach out to that group at the department to get it started.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the board for the DOE team? All right, again, since there's been a lot of conversation, I think it probably makes sense to just vote individually on each of the regulations. And so, we'll start with Regulation 503, the Instructional Program Requirements for Action. Is there a motion regarding Regulation 503?
Marinucci, I move that Regulation 503 be considered as submitted.
So, to approve.
Thank you.
Motion by Dr. Marinucci to approve Regulation 503. Is there a second?
Stevens, second.
Second by Vice President Stevens. Any further discussion on Regulation 503? All right, just quickly, I just disclosing I work for the University of Delaware, Dr. Feldman. I had not realized that there was any relation. Just publicly want to disclose that. I don't believe it impacts my vote in any way, but just for transparency. Any other discussion on the motion? All right, all those in favor of approving Regulation 503, please say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Right, motion carries. Moving on to Regulation 505, High School Graduation Requirements and Diplomas. Is there a motion regarding Regulation 505?
So moved, Stevens.
What's the motion? To approve?
To approve.
The motion by Vice President Stevens to approve Regulation 505. Is there a second?
Banks, second.
Second by Reverend Banks. Discussion? All right. All those in favor of approving Regulation 505, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Motion carried. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Whalen, Dr. Feldman, Dr. Moore. We'll move on to item C, public comment on regulations. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for public comment on regulations. Ms. French, do we have anyone signed up for public comment on regulations? Okay, before we get to our speakers, we will hear from the speakers from the sign-up sheet who are present in the meeting room first, and then we'll recognize speakers logged in via the URL in the order that they've signed up. Comments should be limited to 2 minutes for individuals and 3 minutes for organizations. Please note the board typically will not respond to questions or engage in dialogue with those offering comment during the board meeting. So who is the first one? Okay, Ms. Rice, you have 2 minutes. Do we have Ms. Rice?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, you guys. I'm Lisa Rice from Middletown, Delaware. Thank you for this opportunity. I first want to point out that the Delaware Workforce Development Board, they leverage federal and state funding beyond education. It includes family literacy programming. Last month, public notice was given pertaining to the proposed amendment to Section 505. High school graduation requirements. As you are aware, the proposal is in reference to mandatory statewide financial literacy courses. Seven groups, including educators, expressed concerns about placing financial literacy course instruction within social studies programs. It was stated that narrowing options to social studies would limit flexibility for each district. This is seemingly correct because Red Clay School District has moved world history to senior year social studies, making it optional. In response to the seven groups that raised concerns, the department referenced HS1 for HB203 with SA1. Additionally, the department references the fact that Federal Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act does not fund school services, and therefore aligning definitions to assist educators is not applicable. The department is not funding financial literacy courses either, so it's difficult to see how this response makes sense. Because economics is a viable option to place financial literacy, the majority of participants requested that you do just that. In other words, keep math with math so that world history, civics, geography, and history are not affected. These courses are crucial for a well-rounded education. According to Section 501 of Title 14, financial literacy standards are set apart from social studies standards. Moreover, this section states that all of the aforementioned can be amended through the approval of the Secretary and the State Board of Education. One of the main drivers for my participation in this meeting, besides concerns regarding literacy and math in Delaware, is my long-term observations of educators being politely dismissed when they share concerns regarding curriculums. According to House Substitute 1 for HB 203, as amended, financial literacy courses can indeed be included in math as long as it does not replace current curriculum. Legislation states that financial literacy courses are necessary for Hispanic women and Black males. To me, so is the ability to read and do math. If students are unable to read and perform math at grade level, how are they going to learn to balance a checkbook or invest in the stock market? This is where financial literacy takes meaning. Right now, some districts are at 1% grade level reading and 7% grade level math. Therefore, I ask you to reconsider your decisions regarding financial literacy courses and to take advantage of the Delaware Workforce Development Board's authority to assist you beyond employment through available family literacy resources that they possess. The board mentioned just this morning that they desperately need a well-educated workforce and implied that workers would be coming from out of state. This is unacceptable to taxpayers. We are funding the public school system here, and we want our kids to be the ones that benefit from federal and state dollars. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rice. Next up, we had Kendall Massett. Okay.
Good evening, Kendall Massett, Executive Director for the Delaware Charter Schools Network. This is my regulation comment. I will want to give general public comment at the end of the meeting, as noted in the agenda. I just wanted to say, one, thank you to Alyssa Moore and Michael Feldman for the work. They did take into consideration the comments that were made around Regulation 505. However, just as the last public comment, Ms. Rice just noted, the concern that world history would be moved to optional is now a reality, because the schools, the LEAs, didn't have enough time to change it. So I wanted to say to Dr. Marinucci and Dr. Stevens, thank you for bringing up what you brought up. Yes, we need to look at this in a year. We need to see that it can be done differently and it must be done differently. We have so many other options that we could pull on for financial literacy. So the state board has the ability to continue to push this. We don't have to wait for the Department of Education to review a regulation. You can ask for that information in a year from now. And my final comments here, I just need to make sure that I say this because something that was said in regulation, there's this belief that butts and seat time actually equals mastery for content. No, it does not. And we as a state need to actually stop pushing that and start recognizing that children learn at their own pace and requiring that they sit and take 62 or however many hours, Mr. Feldman noted, is ridiculous. And as a state, we need to move out of that mindset. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Massett. Moving on to the secretary's report, Donna or Adam, nothing to add to what was written. Okay, the secretary's report was submitted to us in writing, so I think folks got a copy of that. Any questions for DOE from the board on that? All right. We will move on to State Board business. Item 6A is our FY27 budget items. The budget that the board received uses line items that were based on prior year budgets, $3,100 encumbrance, $46,841.23 carryover, $70,000 for FY27 budget. For $116,841.23 for our total allocation. Is there a motion to approve the FY27 budget of the board?
So moved, Stevens, motion, to approve.
Motion by Vice President Stevens to approve the budget. Is there a second?
Marinucci, second.
Second by Dr. Marinucci. Is there discussion from the board? I know we've spoken a little bit about NASB and that line. So I think when we get to committee reports, I know a number of our folks went to that new member institute. So that was the only thing I wanted to flag. I know that's been a conversation in the past about that line. So I'm supportive of this. I think it's just something for us to keep our eye on. Any other discussion of budget? Jim, are you trying to unmute?
Yes, I'm trying to unmute. Okay. I thought at the last meeting that we decided that NASB would stay and we would look at it after a year. Yeah. Am I mistaken in that, or is that?
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Okay.
Just to flag that it's in there and we had agreed to kind of monitor it this year.
Understood. I just wanted to make sure for clarity.
Okay. Any other comments, discussion from the board? All right. All those in favor of approving the budget, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, motion carries. Moving on to 6B, committee and meeting reports. In a moment, we'll have an opportunity for discussion on board priorities, but first, there's an opportunity for members to provide information in written reports made available on eBoard on any events or committee meetings attended since the last meeting. I believe we have three submitted reports. Would anyone like to share either information from their reports or other items?
Sure. I'd like to share the fact that, first of all, I want to thank everyone who had a part in sending us to NASB. That was fantastic. The conference was fantastic. I learned so much there. I had a chance to see the diversity of different boards from other states and some of the work that they're doing. But there was several things that really clicked for me there, because NASB dealt with how we work together as a board, and they emphasized the roles of the board members and how important it is to have solid relationships. That was huge for me. And redirecting, you know, at least my fault, to why we do what we do, and highlighting our students in our state. One of the meetings really resonated with me because one of the speakers sort of spoke my language when he said, "You have to find your verse." And as a pastor, that's what I do every Sunday and throughout the week, find my verse. And what he was really saying was, find out what you're passionate about. And remember, as you serve, that you're going to leave a legacy. And I was also proud of the fact that Dr. Marinucci was voted in as the new board representative for NASB. It was awesome. And it sort of put the pieces together for me as a new board member. And I pray that we keep it in the budget, whoever wants to go. I mean, I would love to go I would love to go next year. One of the board members said to me at the last board meeting that when we go places or when we visit schools, if it isn't in a report, then it didn't happen. That's why you see May 27th, where I went to secret school, a district. And, you know, I had a tour of the school and witnessed some of the great things that they're doing in Seaford. So, yeah, that's my report. And it was amazing.
That's awesome.
I'll jump on that. I also attended the NASB. And then following that, we were at the Education Commission of the States, also in DC. So we had a week of DC, and it was phenomenal. Some of the best professional development conferences I've attended, period, across 30 years of being in education and part of this. Just absolutely phenomenal. The amount of information that was provided and that we were attempting to receive was exhausting. I think we went every evening was just kind of, I'm done talking, I can't do anymore, and I'm exhausted. And then we started again at 7:30 in the morning, which was an adjustment for me because I've gotten out of the waking up that early part. But it was absolutely phenomenal. The structure, the information, and just the camaraderie and being with like-minded people that are all there for the students and the betterment of education, hearing what other states are doing and knowing that we all have very similar challenges. The financial challenges are across, the mental health challenges are across, just trying to figure out how to fix the teacher pipeline, the teacher shortage, all of that. It was just AI. It was just talking about policy, talking about just processes and what's working, because I think that's the key, is what is going well and who's doing it and how can we make Delaware better as a result. I went there without any expectation of becoming a part of the NASB board. And after the first day, I was thinking, this is a really great organization. The next day I was elected. So that'll be exciting. And I look forward just to continuing to serve. And I will say the, what will your verse be, was definitely a powerful moment. And just thinking, and they tied it in there. They tied it to a poem. And what is your line? Kind of what is your line in the poem of the world and of life, and what basically what is your contribution based on your area of passion, and I just found that to be extremely powerful. And then today, my report doesn't really summarize what we saw because I submitted it prior to the visit, but we had an absolutely amazing tour of the Caesar Rodney Summer Program, both at Allen Freer and at Charlton, and just seeing passionate educators and excited students from all ages, from age 2 up to 22, was just really, really a great way to spend today.
Well, you've got my board's report. Just a heads up, under the first item on my board report, I did attend the most recent DPAS 2 advisory committee meeting. That's the group that looks to take oversight of the educator evaluation system. And last month I had reported that there were a number of recommendations for change, both in Delaware code as well as in Delaware regulation regarding the teacher and administrator evaluation system. That was brought up to the committee at the meeting on June 23rd. They voted to accept all of the recommendations for a change. And so now that's being sent on. And as you can see, I've listed the groups there, the governor, the Secretary of Ed, State Board of Education, and the General Assembly. And so you should be seeing some of that coming before us in the near future for our approval. I won't go into the CSAC meetings that I attended because it's included in the reports, but it's regarding Eastside Charter School's major modification requests. We've had two meetings so far, one with the school and their supporters, and then the public meeting, which was held this week. And so the next meeting with the school comes on August the 5th. Regarding the Education Commission of the States, again, a lot has been said by my two colleagues that also attended. It was an exceptional, exceptional conference. This was my third year attending ECS, and they have not disappointed in any of the three times that I've been there. I think the discussion on the future of property taxes and education funding was enlightening, especially in light of the number of states that are now considering doing away with property taxes and how other states are trying to be creative in raising money through a fee structure rather than a property tax structure. But there's still a lot of questions as to what is going to happen with the continued funding of public education as we move forward, and especially in today's economic climate. AI was a big topic, absolutely huge topic of do we, don't we, and if we do, what does it look like? And what was great was having other states like Louisiana and Maine there to discuss what they were doing and the results that they were seeing so far, because they're just in the beginning process with AI, and many of them figuring it out for just their own systems and not necessarily direct instruction for students. So everybody seems to be taking a measured approach as to what it's going to look like in education at this point. And again, the last session that I attended, rethinking assessment and accountability for today's learners, was, I think, a really, really interesting and rich discussion from a panel that said, you know, do the tests that we give necessarily demonstrate the knowledge achieved by today's students? No one had a definitive answer. Michelle, you were part of that panel as well. No one had a definitive answer, but I think it'll be interesting going forward to see, can we be creative coming up with different ways for students to demonstrate their knowledge while also still maintaining our level of accountability in each of the states? Finally, the last piece is on my report. I am happy to say we met with PMG Consulting this week. Yay. And so we are moving forward with the strategic planning process. What we did was we had a discussion of what that could look like. Interestingly enough, and I'm a organizational development geek, I love strategic planning. Most people think I'm crazy for that. But we're moving away from the traditional SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, to more of an asset-based approach of strengths, opportunities, aspirations and results. And so I like the direction that the consultants provided us with. They are going to be putting together a contract for us that they hope to have available possibly mid to late week next week that we can then forward on to everyone and see, you know, what the finality of it is, and then move to get it approved with the thought being that these initial meetings would begin sometime late August, early September, with a number of meetings taking place during the fall, and the final plan being made available in January. And we're excited because, again, having new members to the board, I think this is going to be a very exciting process to find out where everybody is regarding our strategic plan and the direction that we feel we need to go as we're moving forward. And I'm thrilled that it falls at the time that we're bringing on board all of our new members. So I think that's a really exciting thing for us to move forward on. And then finally, I'm now on the Delaware Literacy Alliance Advisory Board. And so we had a meeting this week, and right now they're getting ready for Delaware Literacy Month coming up in September. And so that may be something for us to engage in as partners to see how we could partner with the engagement committee and the alliance to help support literacy, especially during the September Literacy Month kickoff. So I'll keep you more informed on that as we go along. And that's my report.
Thank you for all of that. Other reports from the board? I'll just wrap with Reverend Banks. I did not put them in a report, but I promise I did visit the following schools. I visited the summer program at Colonial at Pleasantville, and really amazing work that they're doing there around literacy, and particularly they have a focus on multilingual learners, and it was just a wonderful summer program that that Superintendent Menzer and his team are running there. I attended the Brandywine School Board meeting. They reelected Jason Heller as their president and John Scrobot as their vice president. Really good meeting, particularly their CFO gave a budget presentation that I thought was so thorough and transparent and wonderful. And then as Dr. Marinucci said, we had just a tremendous visit today in Cesar Ronde. So a huge thank you to their team for showing us around for about 90 minutes and just saw incredible things there. So I promise that those are real and they will be in a report moving forward. Other updates from the board in committee meeting reports? All right, we'll move on to item C, priorities discussion. So at each regular meeting agenda, we will have specific presentations and or discussions aligned with our five board priorities, plus opportunities for discussion on initiatives. As we have discussed in the past, one of the things I wanted to raise and hoping it's okay that we bring this to a vote next month, we are required to record our meetings. But we do an audio recording, and I just think that most school boards tend to do YouTube so people can watch it. And so I just think it's a little more transparent that we're already recording, and our executive director looked into it, and I believe doing so would not have a cost to us, so it wouldn't cost anything. So if folks are comfortable with that, I think it's a good idea to put it on the next agenda. Just feels like it adds a little element of accessibility for folks. That was my only item.
Especially as a new member, I was trying to find it, and it's in that specific website, whereas if we had a YouTube profile, Delaware State Board of Education, it'd be easier to find.
Yeah. I think in general, our website can probably be more accessible, so maybe that's something that we can look at.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time to ask, but I'm thinking it probably is in line with the priorities discussion. I have two areas that I would love to see on an upcoming agenda or just to receive information from the department about, and both kind of come back to the conversations nationally that I've had, But I'm curious if, and the department may already have this information, but the different high schools that offer the certificates. So there's all these students graduating with certifications in different areas based on CTE programs and such. I think it would be very beneficial to have a concise list of the different certifications being provided to students across the state and where they're being offered. I would love to hear more about that so that we know what our students are actually exiting high school with certification-wise. And I think that could actually tie maybe into the broader discussion of how do we determine that a student has actually accomplished high school, college, and career ready? And that is, to me, a measure that says they're exiting career ready in that way, or perhaps college ready, depending on that graduation certification. And then the second is a little more in the weeds, but I think it impacts so many of our students that rely on school bus transportation. I know there was a lot of news about the bus driver shortage that was being experienced nationally. I know when I was running a school, there was a concern about school buses being available. I know some of the LEAs were actually having to do staggered buses and say, we're not going to be able to transport students in this area for this week because of the shortage. And then I also know that I think the largest transportation bus driver or bus company in the state has gone under as of the end of this school year. So I'm curious the impact that if we're still seeing a bus driver shortage and the impact on LEAs on being able to have bus contracts and the appropriate number of buses, I think having that information earlier would be better so that we can at least be more informed as that end of August comes quickly. So I'm just curious about that impact on st because students attending school is significant. And if the student is relying on bus transportation and we have a shortage, then I think we have an obligation to dig deeper.
Yeah, so Don is here from DOE. So I had both the certifications on the CTE front and the bus transportation for future meetings.
Thank you.
Would also love to see that, especially I know within hospitality events and tourism, that redesign committee, and within other CTE areas, they have online platforms that kind of hold all that information of all the certifications, and especially with that new redesign process, a lot of new micro credentials through the Department of Education have been created with partners. Like for example, just offhand with hospitality events and tourism. We're partnered with the Delaware Restaurant Association, who created a bunch of new micro credentials. And I would agree, being able to compile all those to show the state that we're actually, these are what our students are achieving would be great. Because students are already putting them on their resumes as they have this, but if it was put somewhere publicly by the state, would definitely back those up a little bit more.
Yeah. All right, we got it.
I'd like to make a couple of suggestions for our upcoming meetings. I know that training was offered for us for the CSAC process. And so given that some of the renewals will be upcoming shortly, and if we want to have our members serving as part of CSAC, we probably should have that training soon, no later than September. And then also with the statewide testing scores, I think being compiled now and districts reviewing them, usually by August, there's the opportunity to have a report out on the test scores. And so I'd like to see that on an upcoming agenda.
100% agree. All right, so we have four items to fit in over the next month or two. Okay, great. Anything else from the board for priority discussion? All right. We move on to item 7, formal public comment. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for general public comment. Mr. Richards, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
We do not have anyone in person, but we have Kendall Massa.
Okay. All right. Give us a second, Kendall, to pull this up. All right, whenever you're ready.
Good. Oh, I want to go to the screen. You guys can't see it. There's a picture of Hawaii on my screen right now. I think, Aaron, it's your screen. I want to go there. All right, sorry. Kendall Massett, Executive Director for the Delaware Charter Schools Network. First, I wanted to say welcome, Caleb. You are absolutely correct. Student voice is extremely important. Thank you for giving of your time and for being that voice for the rest of the students in our state at the state board level. And then a huge shout out to Justin. I have been working with Justin over the years over at Legislative Hall. We are super excited to have him at the helm at the state board, helping all of you wonderful volunteers as state board members, being the executive director. I'm looking forward to working with him in that new role. A couple of updates for our community for you. So last year was the first year that I'd ever been to the Delaware State Fair. And we went to the Delaware State Fair and had a booth. And it was amazing. We met hundreds of parents and families and kids. We had over 50 people sign up to say that they wanted to work in a charter school. The number of parents that I talked to that had never heard of a charter school 30 years later was unfortunately higher than I wanted it to be, but we had members of our community there with us, and it was such an incredible opportunity that this year we have a double wide booth at the state fair. So please, one, go to the state fair, July 23rd through August 1st, and two, come by and see me and our charter community in the air conditioned building. You can play Legos and Connect Four and talk to all kinds of people that work in our community. We'd love to see you there. And then my final invitation to all of you is, yes, it's the summer, so not a lot going on in our schools, but please come visit our schools. You are the authorizer for 22 of our 24 charter schools. One is not in existence yet, but it will be opening in the fall of 2027. We'd love to have you there. Come see what's happening in our schools. Come visit our kids. Our kids love having adults come ask them what they do every day. And it is a joy. As you talked about all of your visits so far, you know that it gives you the lifeblood to keep doing this work, right? Our children are learning incredible things from amazing educators, and being there, seeing it reminds us of why we do what we do every day. Thank you, and have a wonderful rest of your month. And I will be back to give public comment in the month. Hopefully, I'll see you at the state fair, though.
Excellent. Thank you. Do we have anyone else signed up for public comment? If not, okay. We will move on to item 8, appeals. We have two items here. So the first is item A, which is boundary dispute 2026-08. Is there a motion regarding boundary dispute 2026-08?
Before we get to that, let me just give a little intro. So State Board of Education appeal 2026-08 concerns Captain's Way subdivision. The parties went through, well, the main party, which is the developer of the subdivision, notice was sent to them as well as both school districts. They were also provided copies of the recommendation of the hearing officer. No one provided any written comments, exceptions, or objections to the hearing officer's recommendation. So based off of the State Board of Education rules, no one has the opportunity to make any oral comments to the board when they're considering it. The board was provided all the documentation and relevant evidence necessary to make the determination about a boundary dispute. And all of that information is contained online for the board, as well as the hearing officer's recommendation. If there are any legal questions, please direct them to me. But if not, I'll turn it back over to President Sheehan.
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion, but then I also want to have discussion and share. So I would make a motion that we accept the hearing officer's recommendation for boundary dispute 2026-08. And there are two ways that we can effectuate that. The one that I would make a motion to do is accept it and then choose the option, which is it's the part of code where.
So under 14 Delaware Code 1026, that specific section of code outlines the ways in which the State Board of Education can effectuate a boundary change when a dispute exists. And there are two options. The first option is after consultation with the two districts involved, a referendum vote would then go out to the communities of those two districts. The other option is to approve the change via consent. And that consent would be the consent of all the homeowners that are impacted by the change, as well as a resolution passed by both affected boards adopting the change in the boundary.
Thank you for clarifying. So I would make a motion that we accept the hearing officer's recommendation and effectuate it by going the approved via consent route. Is there a second?
Second, Marinucci.
Second by Dr. Marinucci. Any discussion? I did want to share, I did get outreach today from the affected districts, and I just wanted to share, I think in this case, this is the right way to go. I think where I would have concern moving forward is if this set a precedent where other developments that are already constructed come to us and seek changes. That, in my opinion, would be a slippery slope. So as one member of the board, my view of this specific case is that this makes sense, but I'm also cognizant that this could be a slippery slope if other folks come back and try and change. And so this to me is not a precedent setting vote as much as just this individual case before us. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Kind of quell those concerns. The way that the law is written says that the boundaries can be adjusted if there is a dispute or a question as to the boundary, which I think supports your conclusion that this is a case-by-case determination. So if another subdivision or another group of individuals were to come forward, one point that they would need to make before the board had the authority to make any changes is that there actually was a dispute as to the boundary line. In this instance, the hearing officer found that that dispute existed because the boundary line predated this development. So the boundary line didn't even contemplate this community existing when it was drawn. Those that were existence already might have a little bit harder of an argument to make that. So I don't think that, again, this is just my opinion. We could be proven wrong, but I think that the law is written in a way to help protect against such a slippery slope where we would now get just a plethora of subdivisions coming in asking for changes.
Good. Other discussion on the motion?
I also thought or was concerned about were we setting precedent. And when I, as I was reviewing, thought alongside of Alex's comments around, this is not precedent setting because it's a new development. So I'm glad to hear him say that because that's where my mindset went. I didn't think it would be something that could be brought up later. So I'm not sure if that's law or legal, but that's the way my mind went when I read it. So just a comment. Did we get kicked out, bruh?
I don't know how we got kicked out and we're still here.
All right, apologize. We had some technical difficulties at our end. So sorry, Jim, as soon as you started, I think we froze. So apologize to ask this again, but can you start from the beginning of your comments?
Hold on, before you continue. Are we recording?
We are recording.
Okay.
I think I'm in agreement with both comments. I just wanted to speak it out in my head. I was concerned about, are we setting a precedent? However, when Alex spoke about it's a new development that uses a borderline versus an existing development or border, I think that it helped me to say we're not setting precedent and this is a case by case kind of process.
Any other discussion? All right, so it's been a little while since I made it. So I made the motion again to accept the hearing officer recommendation and choose the approved via consent route. Dr. Marinucci seconded, so we'll take a vote. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Is there a motion at this point to move into executive session?
The purpose would be to address the other appeal.
Yes,
so Marinucci, so moved.
A motion by Dr. Marinucci. Is there a second?
Sorry.
Second by Reverend Banks. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? All right. The board will now enter executive session.
And then a motion to.
Right. Is there a motion to move back into open session?
Marinucci, so moved.
Motion from Dr. Marinucci. Is there a second?
Second, Stevens.
Second from Vice President Stevens. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Banks.
Abstention. Abstention, Banks. So can we do a roll call whenever there's just an abstention? So this is the motion to move back into open session.
Reverend Banks?
Yes.
Dr. Griffin?
Aye.
Dr. Marinucci?
Aye.
Mr. Sheehan?
Aye.
Mr. Simmons?
Aye.
Ms. Stevens?
Aye.
Five yeses.
I guess.
Okay, so we are back into motion carries. We're back into open session. Is there a motion regarding student appeal 2026-06?
Stevens, regarding student appeal 2026-06. I move to affirm the hearing officer's recommendation and uphold the district's decision in this case.
Motion has been made by Vice President Stevens. Is there a second?
Griffin, second.
And by Dr. Griffin. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. We'll move on.
I'd like to make a second motion.
Yes.
This is Stevens. I'd like to move that contained within the final order, there be a recommendation made to the Caesar Rodney School Board to reconsider their board policy, which seems to be out of alignment with Delaware regulations regarding suspensions. The recommendation being that they would revise their policy to accurately reflect what's included within the regulation.
Motion by Vice President Stevens to recommend the amendment of their policy.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second?
That's a second.
Second from Reverend Banks. Any discussion?
Yeah, I think I don't know that I would. That seems a little overreaching in, on my behalf, from my perspective. I think there's some verbiage issues, as I mentioned before. I don't know that I was comfortable with the fact that it said that it was not aligned with the regulation. So I'd have to maybe look at it a little more clearly before I'd be willing to say it was misaligned. I think there was some verbiage issues, but I also think that that's the responsibility of the board and their superintendent. Again, having been in that capacity, to constantly review those policies, see if they're still up to standard. You know, even sometimes it's things that have changed because of the change in time. I don't know that that was the responsibility of the state board to make those kind of recommendations. Just, again, just Simmons' thoughts.
Thoughts on the motion? All right, it's been motioned, seconded to recommend to the Cedar Rodney School District that they update their policy to align with state law. All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Simmons abstention.
Okay, I saw at least a no and an abstention, so if we do a roll call.
Reverend Banks?
Yes.
Dr. Griffin?
Oh, you're on mute.
No.
Dr. Marinucci?
Yes.
Mr. Sheehan?
Yes.
Mr. Simmons?
Thing.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
Four yeses. All right, motion carries. We'll move on to item 9, adjournment. Our next regular meeting is August 21st in the Townsend Building in Dover. Before we go, I want to thank again Caleb, our new member, and welcome him. Thank our executive director and welcome him. Congratulate our vice president on re-election. Do we have a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
So moved. Thanks.
Is there a second?
Second, Simmons.
I think Jim beat you there. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Have a wonderful evening. It is 6:50 and we are adjourned.
Oh, so.